Hey, this is Ryan Tucker, and we want to thank you for listening to the Unchangeable Truth Podcast. In this podcast, we get to dive into Pastor Stephen's weekly sermons right here at Highland Park Baptist Church. We would ask you to rate, like, subscribe, and comment. And again, we are honored and thankful that you have chosen to listen to the Unchangeable Truth. What's up, everybody, and welcome to the Unchangeable Truth Podcast with Pastor Stephen on this Monday afternoon. How's life, my friend? Everything good?
Things are great, man.
How's your voice?
My voice is not. we went to Cincinnati with our students on a kind of a mission choir trip, and I preached up there at a church that we helped plant about 9 years ago that things are just going really, really good. It's called the Oaks Church,
yeah. And
Pastor's Terry Lee Kirkland. And so it was neat to be up there, but that Sunday morning was 49 degrees.
Really?
I preached in a sweater, and the pollen was a lot different than
here. In June, it was 49 degrees?
Cicadas everywhere.
Wow.
Like, overwhelming, like terror.
Loud.
Oh, man, so loud. They're all over the trees. I'm used to that, seeing that from bygone days, but they were everywhere. And then we roll back here, and it's like 95.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if I've got a cold. I don't know if it's sinuses. I don't know. I apologize to those that are watching and listening, because I got a cough drop that I'm dealing with. I've got an inhaler that the doctor gave me, and also on antibiotics and steroids. And the problem with the steroids is I didn't sleep last night.
Yeah.
And I usually sleep. I have no problem going to sleep.
Yeah.
Man, I'm just sitting there, and I had a little window around midnight. I'm like, all right, this is it right here. And I didn't go fully asleep, and then I woke up, and I was wide awake. Wide awake. And so I got about 2 hours of sleep.
Yeah.
And when you're sick, that's miserable.
Yeah. I'll get those nights where I feel like I've slept hours and hours, and I wake up, I've been asleep for 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, I got to go back to sleep, and I can't do it.
I was talking to a guy today who's like, man, I have a hard time sleeping every night. You know, he's like, there's some nights, man, I just get up and start cleaning, because I didn't get to that point. I just turned on a ball game or something, you know, an old game or something like that. But it was good. It was good to be up there, and hated not being here. And nobody missed anything as far as the way our podcast goes, because we continued with a series that I'm doing at a different time, talking a little bit about context, but kind of neat. Yesterday, we were able to kick off a new sermon series on the book of Daniel.
Sermon number one.
Number one, yeah. And there's not going to be a lot in this, anywhere from 16 to 20.
So I was wondering how you were going to do that, like, because you could.
Like,
you could go super deep into Daniel.
Yeah. The issue, though, is, to me, and again, I'm sorry for the sniffing, but if you're staying contextually true and you're following the story, it's kind of like chapter one. I mean, there was this beginning.
Yeah.
There was what's taking place, and then there's an ending. I mean, I guess the way I chopped it up, I could have made it three or four sermons, but I didn't. So.
Yeah. No, man, I thought it was good. I was wondering what the approach you were going to take. I mean, I know eventually you're going to take the church through Revelation, and this is kind of a setup to that. So I was when you said 16 to 20 weeks, I was like, that's pretty short.
Yeah.
Compared to other things, but also knowing the book of Daniel.
And when you go through the Gospels, like John, you know, you'll have five or six verses that just deal with Jesus dealing with this issue or this event that took place, versus the narrative that flows through the book of Daniel.
Yeah.
Yesterday, you know, we tried to set it up with Dare to Be a Daniel. And I've preached through the book of Daniel one time before, many, many years ago. And that was the title of the series, Dare to Be a Daniel.
Dare to Be a Daniel.
And this is not. This is the coming kingdom of Christ.
Yeah.
So just a reminder to, all right, we got to look at everything through the lens of Jesus, or nothing's going to make sense.
Yeah.
And I'd say scripturally, but I'd say the way we live.
Absolutely.
I mean, a Christian worldview, nothing's going to make sense if you're a Christ follower without letting it be filtered through, this is who I am in Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good advice. Yeah, for every setting. Yeah, that's a good word. As we look at Daniel, though, I the way you kind of started it off was, you know, I understand, you know, the guys that they were talking about in the first chapter, which we know as Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, you know, these teenagers, just challenging the church, like, no matter your life stage, like, yeah, start young, understanding what Scripture says and obeying the way of the Lord and understanding, you know, the purpose, and, you know, even challenging adults to teach and to train those that are younger to stand firm in their faith, even though there's going to be some things happen in life. You know, and again, it's one of those, that's why I like the way you preach, Kelly, because it's always, you know, it is practical, but you're hitting relevant topics and relevant things through Scripture that we need to be reminded of all the time.
Yeah. So basically you have to understand that, when you study Scripture contextually, you sit there and you look at who's writing and who they're writing to, the audience, what the issue they're addressing, how does that apply to that situation? But then what is that overarching principle that is going to bring application in my own life? Yeah. Because the precepts that are found in Scripture are all there to make us more into the very image of Jesus Christ as we surrender our lives daily to His Lordship. And so I like the historical stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm not a big historical guy. You have to. If you walk through the book of Daniel, we're going to get into some pretty heavy historical stuff. Now, my wife, Jennifer, loves biblical history.
Right.
And, man, she is a great student of it. She's one of those who can sit there and say, this guy reigned from this date to this date, and he was the king over this nation. And, I mean, she'll even ask me questions. She'll say, hey, Stephen, and she'll ask a question historical, and I'm like, I don't know.
I got to go look that up.
I really don't know.
Yeah.
And, but I'm the application guy.
Yeah.
What does this say to us? How is this driving us? And in the book of Daniel, I made this statement in the sermon. And again, I say this all the time, probably not an original thought to me. I have heard so many sermons throughout my life and read so many books and just had mentorships and training and all that. So I'm sure somebody else said it. But we never would have heard of Daniel in the lion's den if we had not heard of Daniel in the dining room.
Yeah.
Because the dining room tells us the character and the nature of this young man. I'm not willing to go with the flow.
Yeah.
I'm willing to live a life that is going to be different because I want this life to be true and pure to the one true God. And of course, we'll see later on, he gets thrown in the lion's den because he refuses to quit praying.
Well, even that whole story with, you know, Nebuchadnezzar and just the way that it fell, the way that it all kind of played out, like you see this theme of being sold out and this theme of just standing firm in what God has for us.
And how easy it would have been.
Yeah.
Hey, we're just going to go with the flow. Because we're not necessarily saying, I mean, hey, man, he could have easily said, well, that's when I was back in Israel.
Yeah.
I'm not in Israel anymore. And
yeah.
I'm in a new culture. I'm in a new place. That's not really that important anymore. We see that happen all the time for those who profess to be followers of Christ. They're one way in one situation, one way in another situation. Or, you know, I've heard folks say this, don't wear your faith on your sleeves. Or you should never, your faith should be a private thing. Well, I agree. Faith is private, but the way I understand my faith in Jesus Christ, it can't stay private.
Yeah.
It is very public in nature. And I think a lot of folks think, well, when it comes to being public in nature, you're shoving it down people's throats. No, I'm living it out.
Yeah.
The Bible says, man, you know, be ready.
Yeah. Bear fruit.
That's right.
Yeah. Like
bear fruit and be ready to tell people.
Yeah.
Here's the reason I have hope.
Yeah.
Because of Christ in my life. So we see that playing out with Daniel. Just, I'm not going to. And I love the fact that he says, let us do it different.
Yeah.
What would have happened at the end of 10 days if it had not been that way?
Yeah.
Well, we don't have to ask that question because it was that way.
Right.
I mean, what if he hadn't believed the snake's lie? Well, I mean, then there'd be no sin today, or would sin, the hypotheticals, you can't deal with stuff like that. So Daniel, just a great, great example, I'd say, to young people, because he's a teenager here.
Yeah.
And he's making some pretty important decisions as a young man that are going to go with him the rest of his life. That God is, God's like, all right, he's being faithful here in something that, would some, you know, folks would say is very insignificant, what he eats and what he drinks. And God's going to give greater and greater and greater opportunity for him to show his faithfulness.
Yeah.
And those associated with him, it's going to bring about great fruit in their life as well.
Yeah. Well, so you, the title of this particular sermon is Faith in the Little Things. And you kind of talk about these three major things that are going to happen. There's going to be major tests. And you kind of talk about how, you know, in some of that, you know, Daniel had to go through some things. And like, and I think even the way you even said it was like his life may have seemed like it was falling apart in that moment. And but, you know, again, I go back to Daniel stood firm in his convictions.
Well, and let's put ourselves in his shoes. Let's say that a foreign nation invaded the United States of America, right? Yeah. And I mean, let's just say China. Let's say China. And they came in and they said, okay, here's what we're going to do. Nothing we can do with old guys like us. You know, they're going to throw us in a labor camp or something. I mean, they'll find out Journey has some expertise and they'll probably elevate him to something. But nothing. I mean, we're too set in our ways.
I'm in trouble.
We're too set in our ways, man. We've been brainwashed. And so they're like, what we're going to do is we're going to find those 12, 13-year-olds, 14-year-olds, bright, you know, good-looking, and we're going to take them back to China, and we're going to immerse them in the Chinese culture. We're going to treat them like they were our own sons.
Yeah.
We're going to teach them the language, everything. And we're going to, we'll bring them back later, and they'll help us convert that culture into our culture. And so they've captured the nation, right? They take the best and the brightest. Daniel's in there, and then they're like, all right, hey, now that you're here, we're going to give you the best. Yeah. We're going to give you, I mean, this was not a small thing. Mm. You're going to have the king's, it uses the word delicacies.
Yeah.
I don't know what the delicacies would have been.
Sounds good.
I would assume so. and I would assume the wine that the king drank, and I mean, I'm not a wine guy. I don't know anything. I can, you know, I assume he didn't drink wine out of a box. I don't know. They sell wine in a box at Dollar General. I saw it the other day when I was running through getting my crunchy lunch.
Is that a real thing?
That's what I heard.
Wine in a box?
I believe it. I believe that's the case.
Why would you buy any liquid out of a box?
Bro, I can't answer that question. Maybe those that are listening could, you know, send a little email to podcast@highlandpark.org and let us know. But
we're probably going to get some emails on a China thing.
Probably so. You know, whatever. Chill out. That's what I say, right? So they got the best of everything, and he's like, no, I'm not going to defile myself because I know as a good Jew what God has called me to do, and I'm not going to defile that. Well, he was highly religious. You could say that, but you start digging in to the book of Daniel, you see it's more than just religion, man.
Yeah,
I mean, he had a relationship with the one true God. And he wasn't so much.
And it was strong.
Yeah. Well, he wasn't so much, I'm going to go back on my upbringing or go back on what I've been taught in my religion as much as, man, I don't want to disrespect God.
Yeah.
I take my calling from him very seriously. And so had that been us and we'd been picked up and young men and taken off somewhere, our whole world would have collapsed in because now I'm no longer around my family and friends. My nation has just crumbled.
Yeah.
I've now been taken off to a foreign place where I don't know anyone. I don't speak the language. I don't know what their plans for me are. I would assume when they besieged, there probably some folks died. Yeah. I can only imagine that. Yeah. And so the uncertainty and the difficulty, so the question that was brought up is, hey, what do you do when your world falls apart?
Yeah.
I would say many of us would say our world has fallen apart with less trauma than what Daniel went through.
Yeah.
He literally could say, my world has fallen apart.
Yeah.
What do you do? Can you still be faithful to God? Can you still trust in Him? Can you still claim His promises?
When you even talk about it, you're like, it's very easy to trust God in the good times, but can we still trust God when we feel like all is lost? And, you know, I think that's a great question for us to kind of do some self-reflection on, you know, like, maybe we do blow things out of proportion. I'm sure, you know, as humans that happens, but at the end of the day, yeah, it's easy to trust God in the good things, but you know, where is my faith? Am I standing firm in the promises of God going, all right, I'm going to trust Him even though things may not be great at the moment.
And I don't know that we can define for other people.
Yeah.
What your world falling apart looks like.
Yeah. Yeah.
Had a conversation.
It's all relative.
Yeah. Yeah. I was having a conversation with a guy just a couple of weeks ago, very faithful guy in our church. Been here ever since I've been here. Just retired. Is moving closer to his children and grandchildren, and his wife just unexpectedly a couple of years ago passed away.
Mm.
And when he was thinking about retirement, they were making plans, and
yeah,
they were going to travel, they were going to do this, and you know, they'd spent all the years of their marriage just working so hard that they could get to this point. And I can remember the morning that his wife passed away, and I was there in his living room, and he's like, I feel like my whole world's just caved in.
Yeah.
And he even said, I don't even really know how to respond right now.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, that's natural.
Yeah.
I was talking to him as he was getting ready to leave and to move. And, a couple of days ago, and I said, well, how is it? He said, I never get used to her not being here. And he's like, I wake up every morning still expecting to have a conversation with her.
Yeah.
And he said, but here's what I've chosen: to still trust in what Christ has said.
Yeah.
And still to, you know, to know that she's in a better place. He even made a statement to me. He goes, how selfish would it be for me?
Yeah.
To wow. say, oh God.
Yeah.
I want her back.
Yeah.
Bring her back here. I mean, cause ultimately the goal is that we all be with Him in glory.
Yeah.
I'll never forget. I don't know if I've shared this on the podcast. You and I talk so often outside of the podcast, but I'll never forget when I was a young minister going and making hospital visits by myself for the very first time. And I walk into a room and there's an elderly lady lying in the bed and, you know, she's not moving. And I'm like, is she dead? Is she sick? I don't know. What do I do? Do I wake her up? Do I try to call a nurse? Seriously, I had no idea what to do. And so
I've been there.
Yeah. Well, I just like, well, I'll pray and leave. And so I'm just like, Lord Jesus, please get this woman up out of this bed and heal her body. And anyway, and I'll never forget, she opened her eyes and grabbed my hand, scared me to death.
I'm sure.
Yeah. Opened her eyes, grabbed my hand, and her exact words were, would you quit praying, praying me out of heaven? Quit praying me out of heaven. And yeah, I didn't laugh because it was scary.
That's kind of a reality check, though.
It is a reality check. It's kind of like, hey, look, your perspective is all wrong.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean that we shouldn't pray for
yeah.
sick people to be healed. Yeah. The Bible tells us to do that, that we should do that.
Speaking
But not so they'll stay here on earth, but that God will yeah. get glory through that. And so I go back to what I originally said. We can't define for someone else what a world falling apart looks like, but that we all will deal with a time where we're like, our world is falling apart.
Yeah.
You know, for my wife and I and our family, we've talked about this pretty regularly over the last couple of years, her cancer diagnosis.
Yeah.
I'll never forget when we finally got the results and all my kids were at home and I'm reading these results out loud and
yeah.
just the overwhelming emotion yeah. of, wow, mom does have cancer.
Yeah.
Mm. And I would have to say kind of the world
yeah,
kind of fell apart just a little bit.
Yeah.
And, but again, here's Daniel. He would have had every reason in the world to say, man, that was who I was before, but now I'm in a new place. I'm with new people.
Yeah.
I'm going to live a different yeah. way. And he said, no, I'm not. And we're going to see that God is going to use that little faithfulness to give him greater opportunity to extend faith. And really, ultimately, a lot of people come to know the true living God through Daniel's life and action. So, it's a major test that we all will have to deal with one time or another.
Well, and then you talk about, you know, kind of on the same thing. I mean, you alluded to it earlier, you know, where, you know, in this, your point is there's going to be a major trap, but just talking about how culture was trying to change him. And you even kind of talked about how culture today is doing so much to distract us from the truth of Scripture. I think you even called it cultural brainwashing, you know, that we get. But, you know, again, just going back to being able to stand firm on the truth of Scripture, stand firm in the promises of God, even though culture is trying so hard and is very creative to distract us from the truths of Scripture.
Well, yeah, what culture wants to do. When I say culture, I'm just talking about the world
system.
That's
a big word or vague.
It is. Yeah, I'm talking about the system that the devil works through.
Mm.
Basically, the world system says this.
That's so good.
Yeah.
I'm going to use that.
The system
culture
the devil.
That the system that the devil works through.
Well, it is, because basically here's what culture says. Culture and the world, when we talk about the world, we're not talking about the created earth.
Right, right.
But we're talking about the system that is set up that basically says, I don't need God. I control my own life. I am my own God. And the devil knows that he's not going to get most people to be able or to make that statement.
Yeah.
But what he'll do is he'll come along and he'll, first of all, just very subtly get us to start questioning what is truth.
Yeah.
And what is not truth. And the big thing, and we talked about this, is absolute truth.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of folks who profess Christ, and we have a lot of folks that come to our services that I would assume would sit there and say, you know, that is truth for me. It may not be truth for someone else. Well, no, truth is truth.
Yeah.
It doesn't change from individual to individual.
Yeah.
And so we have been culturally brainwashed into thinking that for me to declare that there is a universal truth is bigoted and it is disrespectful, it is unloving. Arrogant.
Well, you say we're going to get labeled, right? Like, you know, if we're going to call ourselves a believer, call ourselves a Christ follower, Christian in today's culture, because of the way that things are kind of going, we are going to be labeled as a bigot, as an arrogant,
intolerant. There it is.
Yeah.
And nobody wants to be called intolerant.
Yeah.
Because intolerant means I don't love others.
Yeah.
I am narcissistic. And I have no concern for other people at all. And tolerance, we've talked about this. The word has changed so much just in my lifetime.
Yeah, yeah.
Tolerance used to mean this. Hey, I support the right for you to believe whatever in the world you want to believe.
Yeah.
Okay? As long as it doesn't harm someone else, you can believe anything in the world you want to believe. I support that right. But it doesn't mean that I say, well, that's right for you.
Yeah.
No. I can still say, no, that's wrong.
Yeah.
That is a wrong belief. Let me share with you the truth.
Yeah.
And, I mean, really, do you love someone if you're not willing to share the truth?
Yeah.
But that's how tolerance has changed. And so now that's the reason why you have things that are chalked up to be hate speech. Because, you know, the day's coming, and it's already happening in certain parts of the world, that if you claim, hey, there's only one way to heaven, and that is Jesus Christ, and all other forms of religion will lead to eternity separated from God in a place called hell. Well, that's hate speech.
Yeah.
Or for you to say, you know, hey, man, there's only two sexes, male and female. Well, that's hate speech.
Mm.
Because, again, we have taken a word, we've redefined what it means, and now we're using it to try to create this, well— it's the devil using that word to try to bring about doubt of what real truth is.
Yeah.
And we've seen it slowly happen. There's been an agenda that's been going on for, my goodness, I'm a young earther, so 4,000 to 6,000 years.
Well, I've been trying to find like this really old dictionary to pull up the word family in the dictionary, look at it, look at the word family way back when compared to the word family now and the meaning of that. And I think there's a change in the land. Again, it's just slowly the devil is corrupting and cultural brainwash to where we are just getting. I'll go back to what I said earlier. We're getting so distracted from the things that Scripture says, the promises of God. But if we look at Daniel, he didn't. And to me, that's encouraging.
Well, yeah, it's called progression.
Yeah.
I guarantee you that there were some Hebrew boys that said, man, Daniel, you're old-fashioned, man.
Yeah.
Come on, man. This is a different place, man. Mm. Come on. You gotta think with the times.
Yeah.
We're not back in Jerusalem anymore. Come on, man. This is not bad stuff. This is good stuff.
Yeah.
And I just love the fact that he's like, no, I'm going to be more true to my God than I'm going to be to anyone or anything else.
And then your last point, and I know we're running out of time, but your last point was there's going to be these major triumphs. We're going to have hard choices, and we're going to have some humble choices to make. But, you know, again, there's going to be hard choices in pretty much every aspect of life, the things we do, the things we say.
We're going to see this happen when he gets in trouble for praying.
Yep.
I mean, he just did the same thing that he did every day. He went home and opened up his window, and he got on his knees and he bowed and he prayed. And it wasn't a situation. Hey, I'm gonna post something out there on social media. I'm getting together a group and we're gonna meet and we're gonna storm the Capitol and we're gonna petition the king and we're gonna do this and he just did what he always did.
And honestly, that's one of my favorite parts of Scripture because again, just showing the faithfulness and the just the steadfast nature of Daniel just to remain who he was.
Well, and what's so cool throughout Daniel is the Babylonians, King Nebuchadnezzar, he thought that he was taking Hebrew boys to change their culture into a pagan culture. Mm. And yet God allowed these Hebrew boys to be taken into captivity because God was going to change the Babylonian culture into a God-honoring culture.
Yeah.
And that's just the bigger picture that we tend to forget about.
Yeah.
Man, God's still got a plan.
Yeah.
And when your life and world falls apart, you just sit there and say, man, I don't understand why this happened. This is not part of my plan.
Yeah.
But God's got a plan that's greater than me.
Yeah.
And Lord, I'm just gonna keep taking one step after one step. God. And I want to honor you in my decisions. I want to honor you in the little decisions. You know, stop and think that the decisions this guy made as a teenager would radically affect the rest of his life. But it's still true today.
Yeah.
There are people that I counsel and talk to with every week. They'll go back to a place in time, and they're like, if I could do it all over again.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I get that, but here's what I know about myself.
You can't.
If I could, you can't, right? Yeah, you may be able to hit reset on your video game, but you can't in real life. But if I tried to go back and do it all over again, I'm pretty good at screwing things up. I just mess it up in a different way. And ultimately, I have to sit there and say, you know what? God will even work through my failures. Because I'm just going to give it to him, and I'm going to keep pressing on.
Yeah,
I'm going to keep trusting him. I'm going to keep believing in his word and believing that he has a plan, and I'm going to honor him with everything that I have to the best of my ability.
Yeah.
And when I fail in that, that's okay. I'm confessing it, repenting it, and I'm going to get back up on the horse of faith again. So if he can use teenage boys to radically transform a pagan culture, then he can use you and I in our neighborhood, in our schools, in our workplaces, and you'll never go wrong saying, I think I'll just trust God in this.
Yeah.
So it's a beautiful story. It's going to be a great study. Don't hold me to 16 weeks because it may get chopped up a little bit.
What I'm saying, like, if week one is any indication of how good Daniel's going to be, I think the rest of it's going to be pretty good as well. So as always, man, thank you for pointing us to Jesus and pointing us to the truth of Scripture. And we'll see you right here next time on The Unchangeable Truth.
This is Pastor Stephen Kyle, and I would like to thank you for listening to this week's episode of Unchangeable Truth. We would always love to talk to you about your relationship with Jesus Christ, so feel free to shoot us an email at podcast@highlandpark.org. That's HILANDPARK.org.
The purpose of this broadcast is to help you fall more in love with Jesus Christ and your faith to grow as you consistently find yourself in the Word of God. If you ever find yourself in Panama City, please feel free to stop by and worship with us in person at 2611 Highway 231 North. May God bless you, and we look forward to you joining us again.